Praise the Lord.
I think one night we sang that song and some people got up and left.
Oh, the na-na-na got
yeah.
to them?
Mm-hmm. But that's okay.
They're going to have a hard time when they get to heaven. It's going to be so filled with joy and sounds. It's going to be incredible.
And we're all going to act like little children, aren't we?
Yes.
Well, David danced before the Lord with all his might, and some people got up and left, too. Amen. But they became barren because of it, because there's a time for joy. There's a time to praise the Lord in the dance. And I can't imagine what they'd had done if they had seen, you know, the pastor jump out in the middle of the floor and do the chicken dance. Can you say amen? They wouldn't have just walked out. They would have ran out, I suppose. Sometimes joy is you know, why are they saying that na-na-na-na-na stuff? Well, you know, they're singing that because of joy. Amen. Some people don't know what joy looks like. When they see it, it scares them about half to death. It's a song of joy. Amen. Listen. What do you say when you hit something, whom having not seen you love, with joy unspeakable? Now, how do you express joy that's unspeakable? Nah, 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 nah. You can't put it into words. You just have to sing it and put some kind of syllable to it, and God rejoices that we're rejoicing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we don't like to see people walk out, but we're not going to become a dead church without joy so people will come to it. Can you say amen? 11 dead men on a football field does not constitute a team that can win a game. Amen. You can drag them out there. You can put them in uniform. Go down to the funeral home. Get some cadavers. Shoot them up. Drag them out onto the field. But they can't do a thing but lay there. It's kind of like the church without joy. Can't do a thing but just lay there. Jesus said of a church like that, you have a name that lives. You have a name that represents life, and that more abundantly. But ye are dead. Amen. On Easter Sunday, they came to a tomb looking for Jesus. Angel sitting upon the stone says, I know who you're seeking. I know what you're doing here. You're looking for a dead man behind that stone. He's not here. He's risen. And by the way, why seek ye the living among the dead? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God gave me life when he saved me. I don't know what happened to you, but he gave me life, and he gave it to me more abundantly. Amen. And if you want to just wither up and die in your faith and in your walk with God and because of the circumstances of your life, that's a choice that you can make. You can choose to do that. But I choose to rejoice in him. Can you say amen? In fact, that's the message today. Amen. It's hallelujah anyhow. Everybody say it with me. Amen. I took a song title. And by the way, this is biblical. This is not some cute little song title. This is what, oh, by the way, God didn't ask how you felt about it. He didn't ask what you've been going through. He knows what you've been going through. Amen. When he commanded through his servant, rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Say it loud.
Always.
Always. Does that mean even when you don't feel like it? Does that mean even when the circumstances don't seem like there's any reason for it? See, it's not rejoice. He didn't say just to do it, just because he said do it, but do it in the Lord. God is still God. God is still on the throne. God still keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. God is still able to make all things, even the... I can and I will make all things work together for good. Yes. To those that love me, saith God. And yea, that rejoice in me.
Yes.
For in your rejoicing, your faith will rise up. And when your faith rises up, your God will rise up, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Say it with me.
Always.
And again, I say, rejoice. Why did Paul reiterate that? Why did it say rejoice in the Lord evermore? Amen. Why did he say that? He knew
it would be hard.
that it would be hard. He knew it would be so easy to become distracted and discouraged. And he knew the result of that would be we would lose the vision. Amen. We would lose the victory. We would lose the praise for God that's supposed to be. David said, I will bless the Lord at. Come on, way before Paul said it, David said it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continual in my mouth. Don't let the devil steal your song today. Can you say amen? We don't rejoice in a defeat. We don't rejoice in the fact that the devil has done damage. We rejoice in the Lord who is able to repair the damage. Can you say amen? In the Lord who is able to bring good out of the worst circumstances of life. Rejoice in what? In the devil destroying so many people? No. Rejoice, there's a God that said, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. Can you say amen? Today, I want you to trade your shoes out. I started to bring my sandals today. I started to bring them. My wife has sandals sitting at both doors because it's like a minefield outside. We only have two dogs. We only got two dogs, but I like a slip-on shoe that I can put under the water hose in the event that if I forget my glasses and I'm walking along and I feel that squishy feeling under my shoe, that I know, okay, this is a sandal that I can wash off with the hose and everything will be all right. I don't want to track it in my car or Pamela's car, which is my car when I chauffeur her. But amen. Listen, they were sitting there and I thought, I'm going to take them to church, because at some point in the service, everybody in here needs to put on your shouting shoes. You say, Brother Bumble, I don't feel like shouting. The circumstances don't dictate shouting. Well, then you couldn't have marched with the guys and ladies that marched around Jericho. Because before anything happened, God told them to shout. That's rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Not in that wall that refuses, that just is defiant. That wall is saying, you can huff and puff, but you can't blow this house down. Amen. You can bring battering rams, great armies. You can't get this wall to fall. What, you silly, silly Hebrews, walking around with that box, that gopher. I like the gold on the top of it. It's just an old wooden box. Why did they put gold on top of an old gopher wood box? Can you say amen? And marching around there, silly, silly Hebrews. Armies have tried to take this city, and no army was strong enough and mighty enough to lay siege to it and bring down these walls. And you're just marching around and around like a bunch of idiots. Can you say amen? And then Joshua says on the seventh time around, amen, shout. Rejoice in the Lord. Say it with me, rejoice in the Lord. You've got to do that in the Lord. You can't do it because the wall has fallen. The wall hasn't fallen. You've got to do it in the Lord by faith. And then he tells them to accept something by faith that hasn't even happened. For the Lord has given you the city, given you all the mighty men of war within it. Can you say amen? Victory is already won. So go ahead and shout the victory. You know what they did? They said, nah, we can't shout. No wall standing up and then people hurling insults at us, calling us stupid. And Joshua, he's got us doing this, you know, this walking around the city when you don't even have a battle plan. Honey, forget your battle plan. The battle isn't yours. Can you say, man, the battle isn't yours to win. The battle isn't yours to lose. The battle is the Lord's. Can you say, man, hallelujah. And his battle plans are just so extraordinary. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Shout, for God hath given you the city. And they shouted, and I looked up that word shout. And by the way, for the people that cover their ears, that can't stand the noise, amen. Get down into the mall and listen to the noise. Listen to what's on the radio. Listen to what people are listening to on the boom box. Can you say amen? They can stand that noise. The noise that bothers them is the joyful sound. Yeah. Can you say amen? That's what gets to people. Amen. It means to give an ear, an ear piercing sound. Everybody say an ear piercing sound. He said, shout to the top of your lungs, for God hath given you the city. And it didn't fall down until they shouted by faith. They rejoiced in the Lord. Amen. And you know what happened? The walls fell down flat immediately. Walls will not fall in your life while you complain. Walls will not fall while you sulk. Or I sulk. Can you say amen? Walls will not fall while we refuse to rejoice in the Lord in spite of the circumstance. God is still God. And this is the day. Right here, right now. Everybody say, right here, right now. This is the day. This is the day. Who made this day? The Lord hath made. That means somebody's in charge. And it ain't the devil, and it ain't the circumstances of your life or mine. Somebody's in control. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, David said. Hallelujah. I will rejoice in him who is in charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I started to say half my sermon, but that's not near half of it. But I preached some of it this morning. You see where we're headed today? Can you say amen? The devil doesn't want us to rejoice in our God consistently, because if we do, we're going to see consistent victories in our life. We're going to see walls fall. Did not I say, if you hold your peace, I am able to cause the rocks to cry out. I will be praised by my creation. I will be praised, yea, by that I have made with my hands. And I should be praised above all by those that I have redeemed by my own blood, saith the Lord. Somebody give him praise today. This is not an option. Amen. I'm lighthearted, but I'm dead serious about joy. This is not an option. This is not something you decide. This is something God has commanded. Can you say amen? And he has the right to command it. He made us. He delivered us. He saved us. He sent his son. He bled on the cross. And he said, you ought to rejoice in me no matter what. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. The day your trouble and mine cancels the cross, that's the day you're on shaky ground. Yes. Because the devil will create circumstances and cause you to cancel the cross. And when you cancel the cross, your testimony is dead to the world. Because they see you under the load, bearing it no different than them. The difference is they go out and get drunk and get high. And you know what makes them go get drunk and get high? Because they don't know your God. They're without God and without hope. But when the church, who is with God, acts hopeless, we send a contradiction to the world about us. Because we're telling them that he is the answer. We're telling them that no matter what they're facing, they'll come to Christ and put their trust in him. He'll forgive their sin and commit himself to them, to never leave them nor forsake them. And they need to see something, Brother Sean. They've heard it. They need to see something. They need to see something. Amen. They need to see something. Can you say amen? We're living epistles and people are reading us. And somebody said one time, your life is speaking so loud. Yeah. I can't hear a word you're saying. Can you say amen? Yeah. We need to get our lives lined up. God did not suggest that you rejoice in him always. It's not a suggestion. It's not a choice that you decide whether I feel like it or not. Because a lot of times you're not going to frankly feel like it. It's not about what you feel like. Amen. It's about what he did on the cross. Can you say amen? And is that worthy of your focus this morning? Can you say amen? Is that greater, hallelujah, than the thing that's getting you down? Or has that been so diminished by what you're focusing on that you can't rejoice in the Lord? Amen. Unless some circumstance changes. It's got to change. Rejoice is not an option for the church. Why callest thou me Lord? Why callest thou me Lord and do not the things which I say? You know something? Some of us will have to absolutely crucify the flesh in order to rejoice. good. Good. That old flesh needs to be crucified. Because if we, amen, all of us. Because if we keep giving in to the flesh, we're going to disobey and dishonor God. And God is too great to be disobeyed, too good to be dishonored. Can you say, man, he's done too much for me?
I just want you, Lord.
I just want you. Let's sing one more song today. Oh, I want to pray before we sing it. I looked at those shoes, and the thought occurred to me. At some point in the service, I would like to take off these shoes and put on those shoes. Simply because there's times in our life we have to change our attitude. We have to change it, just like changing those shoes. Sometimes we have to take off the shoes we got on and put on those shouting shoes. I remember a lady with the flu. She was in charge of the Christian part of a radio station, WSOL, years ago. She couldn't shake that virus. Taking antibiotics, couldn't shake it. She just dragging her down and down and down and down. I came in one day to preach, and we'd been preaching about authority over the devil and the fact that God had put him under our feet. We used to sing a song, Dale, under my feet. Under my feet, Satan is under my feet. And she said, Brother Venable, I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. When I hit the door, that's what she said. And she took her shoe off and held it up. And the scripture reference was written on the shoe in a black marker. And it was written to the devil. It was addressed to him. And it said, Satan, you are under my feet. She said, I got this on both my shoes. And she said, I don't know when and I don't know how, but this thing over me is going to break. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Next time I went to the radio station a week later, she said, Brother Venable, he's still under my feet. She was well. She was whole. She wasn't a victim anymore. She was a victor. Amen. And she made a choice. She made a choice to acknowledge victory in Jesus, claim that victory by faith, and change her shoes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands this way. He doesn't want to blend with the world because there's no peace in blending with the world. Not if the King has ever touched you. Do you see why the devil wants us to quit praising God? Do you understand what's at stake when we withhold our praises? God is working. God is working. This man has been exposed to the Word of God, the Church of God, Christian family, amen, Christian friends. But today, God has put his hand on him. Can you say, man? He didn't come because of my sermon. Amen. He came because God is in this place. And God is doing what we've been praying that God would do. That God would touch hearts and God would touch lives and God would set the captives free. Hallelujah. And the devil has chained this man so many times, so very tight, that he has almost convinced him that he can never be truly free. But today God is convincing him, hallelujah, that he is in charge. Praise God. And not the devil. And not the weakness of his flesh. Amen. But the strength of his God. Amen. Be strong, not in yourself. You don't have any strength, and I don't either. Amen. In myself. But be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. And in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Therein is our victory. Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong when I trust him. Let the weak say, I am strong, therefore, who are trusting in the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This man comes today. Father, he comes for every chain to be broken. He sets his heart upon you. He gives his life to you. He surrenders to you as the Lord of his life today. Lord, break every chain. Every chain. Every chain. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Seal him with the Holy Spirit and fill him with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name and for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. and let him pick up his guitar again. And let his heart sing and rejoice again in you. Hallelujah. 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 And let him fulfill his calling. Let him bless you and bless your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And take away the guilt and the shame that would drive him away from both of those blessings. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the glory of God. Amen. And amen and amen. Hallelujah. This is a new day. This is a new day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, you pray until you're done. Praise God. Hallelujah. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Last week, something happened. Service is over. People are getting ready to go home, and a man comes down and say, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. This is answered prayer. This is God moving. Hallelujah. 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 Anyhow, in the face of the devil, hallelujah, God is working. God is moving. God is answering prayer. Praise the Lord. Man back here in the back says, I want some chains broken over me. Can you say, man, I want that. I'm coming forward. I want God to work in my life. Nobody dragging anyone. You came with a man, but he had it in his heart. We would have closed the service, but thank you, sir, for walking down here with him last week, Brother Buddy, and bringing him, because he said, I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Amen. When he saw me, amen, he said, I thought I was going to see an old man. And I thought, well, I'm older in years, but they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. It's not because I look so young. It's because there's still joy on the inside of me. Praise God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're getting ready to receive our offering. Let's just stand and pray and thank the Lord today. God is going to do something wonderful here. I'm convinced of that. Hallelujah. When we begin to understand that our feelings can't override our faith any longer. Praise God. Amen. Say it with me. My feelings must not override my faith any longer. Can you say amen? I believe that Jesus is still Lord and God is still on the throne. Father, we come to receive this offering in the name of Jesus Christ for the work of the Lord. We thank you for hearts that are being touched. We see this as the beginning of the answer to the intercessions that have been coming up and will continue to come up before you. Father, there have been services when no one moved, but the services are changing. Something has happened in the spirit realm. Something has broken that has been holding us back and holding people back. Father, we thank you, Lord, that walls have fallen. We didn't see the walls when they fell, Lord, but we see the result of that. We see people being touched in these services. And Father, we pray that that will be something that keeps escalating until people are drawn not only to come forward in the service, but drawn to this place to be set free. Because, and Lord, you will send them because you know that we will be consistent in our worship and our praise and our adoration and our vision and our service to you. Help us, Lord, to get grounded and settled. Hallelujah. Amen. To stand our ground and to praise you no matter what. Bless this offering, Lord, as we receive it for your work. And everyone said amen and amen. And give as God has blessed you. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture that we're going to study today in just a moment. And we're going to have a song to prepare a heart just like we would a special. Amen. And thank you for the mowed yard. The grass is growing almost quicker. Thank Doug for mowing this big yard that's growing faster than faster than the hair on my head is growing anymore. Amen. And the Philippians 4:4 is a command. I want you to take it as what it is. It's something. It wasn't Paul's little suggestion. It was a command of God as holy men were moved on by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, I want to go back to a story. It's from a book, and I think the title of the book, I can't get it just right. It was written, I think, in 1998. It's a true story. A reporter gave this story and at the end of one of the news broadcasts to kind of get people to understand that we all have trials and tests, and but there is victory, and if we'll keep a positive attitude. Well, this is more than a positive attitude thing here, I think the title of the book was something like this: that life would really be good if you don't stick your tongue in a moving blender blade. You know, you lick the blade of things. Well, be sure and turn the blender off before you lick the blade. There's another lady, Irma Brombeck. She said, grass is always greener over the septic tank. Well, it is. It's greener over the septic tank. Of course, the septic tank is what's making it green. And there's a lot of goes on in life. But you can find good if you look for it, is what they're saying. Gary Carr was the man that wrote the book, and he told the true story of Chippy the parakeet. And another preacher, a prominent preacher, Chuck Swindoll, actually told that story as well. Chippy never saw it coming. This was in that paper in this particular town, and based on the book. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage, sending a song into the air. The next second he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. His problem began when his owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum. You know the story. She had stuck the nozzle in to suck up the seeds and feathers from the bottom of the cage. When the nearby phone rang, instinctively she turned to pick it up. She had barely said hello when, Chippy got sucked in. She gasped, let the phone drop, switched off the vacuum. With her heart in her mouth, she unzipped the bag. There was Chippy, alive, but stunned, covered with heavy gray dust. She grabbed him and rushed him to the bathtub, turned on the faucet, full blast, held Chippy under a torrent of ice-cold water, power washing him clean. Then it dawned on her that Chippy was soaking wet and shivering, so she did what any compassionate pet owner would do. She snatched up the hairdryer and blasted him with hot air. Did Chippy survive? Yes. But he doesn't sing much anymore. See, he associated his singing with what happened to him. And when a reporter asked her, how's Chippy doing? Because they put this little story, cute story in the paper. She said, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. And I thought about church services all over America, where people have been through it in life, and they just sit and stare. Some great choir is singing some grand praise unto God, and it's really looking good until they pan the audience. And what are people doing? What the parakeet did after that. They're sitting and staring. Now, they don't do that at a Beatles concert. They don't do that at a rock concert. The world don't sit and stare at their celebrations. Amen. It's only the church that seems to be in sitting and staring, because we don't know how to handle it when it hits us. And Paul is saying, here's how you handle it. It's so simple and yet so very difficult. Rejoice in the Lord when your ship comes in. Rejoice in the Lord when everything goes just right. Rejoice in the Lord when nothing ever goes wrong. Rejoice in the Lord when people applaud you all the time. Rejoice in the Lord when you get that raise instead of get your hours cut. Rejoice in the Lord when you never have a physical problem. Rejoice in the Lord when you never have any circumstances that are negative. I don't have a chippy feel. Sometimes I'm poised for good and bad just hits me out of nowhere. I mean, it happened to me a few weeks ago, and I was disappointed in myself. Amen. Because I saw someone drive up that I wanted to hug. And they jumped on me, lambasted me, got online and tried to cut me to ribbons. I'm telling you. And I didn't see it coming. This is somebody that I thought I was going to get a hug from. And I got hurt by it. Well, what do you do? Well, you go in and close the door. You get under the covers, pull your head over the covers. It's not that you don't experience sorrow. We do. But there can be rejoicing in the midst of sorrowful events around us. And there has to be. And it can't be because of the immediate circumstance. It has to be because there is a God who is in control. Now, here's a sad thing I want you to hear. Chuck Swindoll said, and I'm not advocating non-Pentecostal because I'm Pentecostal from head to foot. I want to be a hallelujah from head to foot. But he said a lot of ex-Pentecostals are coming to his church because they heard him preach on the sovereignty of God. That God and not the devil was actually in control. And so many Pentecostals said their teaching was that the devil is getting the victory here. The devil is doing that. The devil is doing this. And they're giving so much more credit to the devil than they are God. Now the devil exists and the devil's hard at work. But there's a God who is watching over all of this. And there's a God who supersedes him. And there's a God who says what he means for evil. If I mean it for good, I can take what he does with evil intent and I can use it for good. But you got to keep your focus on me and not on him and his works. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Rejoice in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Can you say amen? And do it consistently. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say it with me. Rejoice. I used to say, if you're happy, notify your face. Can you say amen? Because no one would dream. Chippy survived. But he doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. God wants to change that. God wants to change that. Part of growing up in the Lord. And you know what I had to do? I had to rejoice in the Lord. I couldn't rejoice in that immediate circumstance, but I could rejoice in the Lord. And you know, it really occurred to me, it just amplified my rejoicing because I went to my pastor's meeting and I told them to pray about this situation because I've forgiven the person and I really would like a relationship there, but I don't want to have to face this again if possible. And I honestly do avoid people that just want to bring me down. I'm sorry, that's just the way I am. If you want to bring me down, if I see you in a grocery store, I'll go the other way. I love you, but I'll go the other way. Can you say, man, there's enough of that. Life's going to do that. I don't need nobody hanging, you know, being negative about everything all the time. Anyway, that's just the way I am. I hang out with people that love God and believe that he still exists, that God is, and he's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. I'll try to pull you up, but I won't get down in the hole with you. Can you say amen? I will not do that. I refuse to do that. Can you say amen? I can't afford it. Amen. I've come too far. I've been through nervous exhaustion. Don't want to go through it again. I know what Chippy went through here. And I used to sit and stare a lot. Praise God. But I've got my song back and I don't want to lose it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is real. This is reality today. This is a command of God because he knows our flesh is weak. He said, if you don't take this as a command and do it as an act of obedience, you're not, if you let your feelings enter in, you're not going to be consistent in praise. And if you're not going to be consistent in praise, I can't be consistent in deliverance. Amen. But whoever offers praise glorifies me. Hallelujah. And whoever says you, oh, listen to me, whoever orders his conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation of the deliverance of my God. Can you say amen? The challenge is to praise him anyhow. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Anyhow. I've come to teach your fingers to fight. I've come to teach your hands to war. I've come to teach you how to win these battles, saith God. I've come to teach you how to stand your ground. I've come to teach you how to stand still and see the salvation of your God. I've come to teach you how to be still and know that I am God, saith the Lord. And when you're standing, you will be rejoicing. And when you're standing, you will be praising. I've come to teach you how to speak the language of faith. I've come to teach you how to praise me anyhow, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now, if you're one of those circumstantial Christians and you withhold your praise until the circumstances dictate it, you're going to lose your battles. Amen. When they were complaining, God would do nothing. When they said, "What are we going to do, Moses? They're gaining on us." He said, "Tell them, if they're not going to say anything, just hold your peace." Let me tell you something about your tongue. It reveals an attitude and an atmosphere within your heart. And he didn't mean not to praise him. He said, whatever you do, if you can't praise me, don't keep talking doubt, fear, and defeat. Tell them to hold their peace. Quit talking out of panic and fear. If they'll hush, be still and know that I am God. Give me a chance before you begin to confess defeat. Accuse me of unfaithfulness. When I realize, when I give in to that stuff, I'm accusing God of unfaithfulness. It shocks me back into reality. And instead of continuing to complain, I say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. You're worthy of my praise. These events that are transcending the cross shouldn't be. And it's my fault that I've let them, not my enemy's fault. It's my fault. And I assume responsibility for rejoicing in you always. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on, church, we got to grow out of this childishness. Amen. The flesh will justify every negative feeling you have, but God will never go along with it. The Holy Spirit will never go along with it. The Word of God will not make allowances for it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Job's wife, amen, used by the devil himself, saw his deep discouragement and wanted him to speak it out his mouth. She said, why don't you curse God and die? Can you say amen? And that's, sometimes we have to get to that point before we realize what's happening to us. Can you say amen? We really want to accuse God, give up and be defeated and let the devil destroy us? Something rose up then on the inside of Job. I believe Job would have died from all he had been through and what he was going through. Amen. But something rose up on the inside. Why don't you just confess how you feel? Why don't you just question because of the circumstances, the goodness and the greatness of God? Can you say amen? Job said, I know. Oh, by the way, before we get into that, amen, Spurgeon got into that deep, deep valley of discouragement and depression. His wife saw him sitting, staring, just like this bird because of circumstances. And you know what? She couldn't. He knew the scripture. What can you tell somebody that knows the scripture? She just wanted to somehow send a message to him that you can't mope this thing away. It ain't going to go away because you mope it away. God's not going to see your moping and decide, I got to do something. My child is moping. Amen. I'm going to come down and part the waters for my moping children. No, that's not how God works. Can you say, moping dishonors him. Praise honors him. I challenge you to honor him in praise and worship. Can you say amen? And ascribe unto him the sovereignty that the devil is not in charge. God is in control. Hallelujah. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but Jesus pulled his teeth at Calvary. The tragedy is that he's gumming a lot of Christians to death. Amen. He's getting us to self-destruct. So maybe it was Moody. It might have been Moody's wife. It was either Moody or Spurgeon. Great preacher, but not immune to discouragement. No one is immune to discouragement. Certain circumstances can bring it. What do we do? Paul said, you've got to rejoice anyhow. You've got to rejoice always. Hallelujah. And again I say, rejoicing is your answer. It doesn't seem like the correct answer at midnight, held over to be killed the next morning and seeming no answer from God. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and rejoiced in the Lord. They prayed and what? Sang praises. They didn't pray to see if God would come through, to see what was going to happen. They prayed and then they ascribed to God, amen, that he's a sovereign God and he's in control over every intent of evil of the devil. If we perish, we perish. If we live unto the Lord. If we die, we die unto the Lord. If we live or die, it's God's call. Oh, it's God's call. Hallelujah. It's not the devil's. It's not this jailer's. It's not Rome. It's not the Sanhedrin. It's God who will decide. Whew. So let's just praise him anyhow. At midnight they prayed and what? Moped until God opened that prison. Cried until God opened. No, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And when did the prison doors come open? While they were praying? No. When they sealed their prayer with their faith. When they sealed their prayer with their faith. When they sealed their prayer with their faith. Amen. While they were singing. Amen. The praises of God. What did it say? With the high praises of God in my mouth. What does it do in spiritual warfare? And a sword in my hand. So kings will be bound with fetters of iron and princes with brass. Can you say, man, that means somewhere in Satan's kingdom there is strongholds being broken. Can you say, man, because God's people rise up and ascribe to him that he's still in charge. Hallelujah. No matter what may be happening in the immediate sense, God is still on the throne. Can you say, man, while they were praising God, that prison began to shake. Amen. It shook so hard that the doors didn't need to be unlocked. They sprung open. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And all of those prisoners begin to walk out of that prison cell. Glory be to God. Amen. And the jailer saw every felon, in not just the Christians being persecuted, but the lawbreakers, the felons were now walking out. He was in charge and accountable and responsible to keep them. He came and fell at Paul's feet and said, they're all loose. They're the prison. They're all loose. What do we do? What do we do? And Paul said, we're all here. We're all here. The felons didn't run. The prison's open. They hadn't went anywhere. They saw God doing something mighty. Even these criminals did not run for the border. Can you say, man? They were so caught up. See, real revival is going to say, listen, folks, God wants to set us free so he can set the captives free that are in Satan's prison house. But he has to get us free first. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. And he can't set us free until we begin to praise him like he said to praise him. They haven't went anywhere. That meant they stayed there. That meant they went back to jail. They stayed there. More than just the Philippian jailer got saved that day. Felons don't hang out unless something's happening in their heart. When they saw and felt what shook that jail and what opened those prison doors, they said, this God of these guys, this Jesus they're talking about, he's real, man. He cannot just get us out of this prison, but all the sin that put us here can be broken over us. We're not going anywhere. We want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll listen now because we see liberty. Can you say, man, we see victory. When we see liberty and victory, we'll listen to what they have to say. We want people to listen to us without liberty and victory. Can you say, man, honey, they got to see something in the church of Jesus Christ if they're going to listen. And God wants to fill us with such joy in believing, such joy in serving him. Can you say, man, that the world looks upon us and said, that's real. Amen. I want what that man has. Not because he doesn't have problems, but because he has a trust in a God who brings him through every one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. His choice of how to do it is up to him, but he's faithful to his word. But he needs our faith, and he needs our consistency. I like Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. Listen quickly today. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. There's trouble in the land. There's judgments, corrective judgments in the land. God is actually having to chasten Israel to get Israel to come back to him. But the righteous understand that no matter how bad it looks, God is a covenant-keeping God, and God is still in control. Although, by the way, I want to run this by you again, because I'm lighthearted, but I'm dead serious today. Rejoice in the Lord is not for you and me to decide if you're a Christian. It's not for you. When you read the Bible, do you say, I don't know if I'll take that I don't know if I'll take that or not. You're supposed to read it differently. You're supposed to read that thing with the intent to obey. You say, Brother Bimble, my flesh, you don't know what I've been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. He's not asking what you're going through. He said, you're a Christian. You serve a great and mighty God. You've been redeemed by the blood of his son. Rejoice in him when you can't rejoice over anything else. But you can still rejoice in him. Can you say amen? In the Lord. Has the Lord been good to you? Has the Lord shown his love by giving his son? Did Jesus love you enough to stay on that cross? Then rejoice in him. Don't penalize God. Can you say amen? Don't take it out on God. Hallelujah. Listen, we got to grow up. It's part of growing up. And so Habakkuk says, you know, I know the Lord well enough that even though these negative circumstances are everywhere around me, he said, although the fig tree shall not blossom in verse 17 of Habakkuk 3, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there'll be no herd in the stall. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, the circumstances haven't changed yet, but the man is going to be changed. Amen? The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. I want you to put this to music, and I want you to play it and sing it as a praise unto God. Amen. And I want you to sing no matter what the circumstances are. We're going to rejoice. It sounds a little bit like hallelujah anyhow. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Does it sound a lot like hallelujah anyhow? Amen. He said if I will hallelujah anyhow, he will change my feet. My feet were not made for these steep places. But when he changes me, I can walk on those steep places and still rejoice. Can you say amen? God may not always change the circumstance. He will always change us if we'll let him. Amen? There's a preacher, he said there's a little, it's a children's record of praise songs. It's called Jelly Beans. There's other Jelly Beans records, but this is Jelly Beans. And this is a song that's for the children to learn. And you know something? We're supposed to be grown up in the Lord, but I really think it's a little children's song that we need to listen to the lyrics. Amen? What do you do? This is the lyrics to this song, teaching kids to rejoice in the Lord always. So, can we become childlike for just a little bit? What do you do when you sit on your lunch and your peanut brittle has lost its crunch and gum gets stuck in your hair everywhere and the guys on the other team aren't playing fair and you're having a perfectly miserable day? Why, you praise the Lord Jesus anyway. Rejoice in the Lord always. What do you do when a friend calls you names and the vase gets broken and you get the blame? And you stub your toe and your toothache hurts. And there's liver for supper and prunes for dessert. And you're having a perfectly miserable day. You praise the Lord Jesus anyway. Children's song, but it's hitting me pretty good this morning. Can you say amen? I'm supposed to be past this. What do you do when the guys push and shove and the puppy chewed up your best baseball glove? And the books you borrowed are all overdue and they're having a party, but no one asked you. And you're having a perfectly miserable day. You just praise the Lord Jesus anyway. Can you say, man? It's a song for kids to learn. See, rejoice has to do with joy. And joy doesn't have anything to do with the immediate circumstances. Whom having not seen, you love. But joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Can you say amen? Say that with me. And again, I say, rejoice. Why does he reiterate it? Because he knows that we're all going to have those chippy days. When everything's fine, we're in a loving, warm, protected, cared for environment, and all of the sudden something happens to change all of that. Number one, reason for rejoicing. How many people here are saved today? Raise your hand, you're saved. Man, that is the single greatest reason for rejoicing that there will ever be. When things go bad and things go wrong, you're not unsaved. Your name's still written in heaven. Amen. And when they sent them out, Luke 10 is the story. I'm just going to read verse 20. When they sent them out with power, Pentecostals need to learn this, because I've seen Pentecostals rejoice over the power and not really rejoice over the person who died for them on the cross. And they got it wrong. They lost the joy of being saved, and the only thing they could find reason for joy is when they saw demonstrations of power. And they went to revivals where there was demonstrations of power. They never came to a Bible study, amen, where we could understand, appreciate, and appropriate the love of God. And they forgot the love of God, and it wasn't power that kept Paul when the trials came tumbling down. Amen. He said, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, what he did on the cross is the reason that I'm keeping my focus when all these things befall me and all these persecutions come. Luke 10 and verse 20 said, let me set this up before we read verse 20. They went out, and he sent them out with authority to use his name. And they said, demons, these minions from the netherworld, these demonic forces that are so formidable and so scary and so resistant and defiant, they are subject to us through his name. And they said, this really works. Jesus is really Lord. There's such power vested in his name that devils bow at the sound of his name, and we speak in the name of Jesus, and demons tremble and flee. They got on a power trip, and they came back rejoicing that demons were subject to them. Wrong reason to rejoice. Here's the right reason to rejoice. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because why? Say it with me. Because why? Because your names are written in heaven. That doesn't change when your circumstances change down here. Doesn't change when bad things happen down here. Can you say amen? So don't rejoice because everything is going your way every day. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Called the joy of your salvation. The world needs to see us happy in Jesus no matter what's happening in our life. Is it possible? It's not only possible, it's imperative. It is commanded by God himself. I've seen that chippy stare not only in my mirror, but I've seen it in church. Again and again and again. We get so lifted up and hopeful By the way, you pray about something, it goes in reverse. Hey. This thing on my eye that y'all prayed for is just about healed. You should have seen it before I doctored it when I came in and asked you to pray for it. It was swollen up. This big kernel here was swollen out. My jaw was swollen. It got infected. It was coming to a head. I helped it because I didn't want it to look so awful. It wasn't all, I mean, it looked awful, but I hadn't sent the poison down into my jaw and everything. You know what I mean? So I decided to help it. And I took my finger and put up there. I put the squeeze on that bad boy. Can you say, man, I decided I'm gonna make that sucker pop. And I'm going to go in looking good Sunday morning. Well, it popped all right, but I didn't come in looking good Sunday morning because all I did was spread that poison down in here, and it went down in all here. And, man, I'm telling you, the thing was running at night. It was bad. But you know what? This thing had, but it's supposed to come to the surface on its own, not with me forcing it. But it's supposed to come to the surface. Now, this is ugly stuff, but it was supposed to pop. And that's that follicle, that gland, actually, that produces a lubricant for the eye, it gets stopped up. And then it gets bacteria in it, and the bacteria causes it to come to a head. And when it comes to a head, something has to give. But when it gives, as ugly, as distasteful as it is, the moment it comes to a head, and that's what I should have let it do. I shouldn't have tried to make it happen. I should have let it happen. But that involves patience. Can you say amen? Everybody say patience. In your patience possess ye your soul. Can you say amen? They that wait. And by the way, to wait upon the Lord involves patience. But more than that, it involves persistence in praise. Because the word means to bind together by twisting. What's that got to do with waiting? Because covenant literally means in the Hebrew tongue, amen, to bind oneself to another. To bind oneself to another. That's what a covenant is. It's a binding of someone. And what it means is that they that continually, consistently claim the covenant shall mount up. Everybody say bind together by twisting. See, God's already there. You just wrap yourself. You bind yourself to Him in faith like He binds yourself to you, amen, in commitment and love. And you bind your faith to that commitment and love, amen. And they that wait upon the Lord, it means claiming a covenant, not just taking a number and sitting still. It means realizing I'm a covenant person. I'm in covenant with Almighty God. He keeps His covenant to 1,000 generations. While I'm waiting, I'm praising. While I'm waiting, I'm rejoicing. While I'm waiting, I'm trusting. Can you say amen? And they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Run! And not be weary. Why? Because of the circumstances? No, because He makes our feet like hinds' feet. Can you say, man? He begins to change us. Hallelujah. They'll mount up with wings as an eagle. Run and not be weary. When we sit and stare, we're not waiting upon the Lord. We're not rejoicing in the Lord because our focus on the Lord is now broken. Satan has succeeded in breaking our focus. Run with patience the race. Persistence is the word in the Greek that is set before you. Looking unto Jesus. That means to set your gaze upon Him, not to glance at Him, but to set your gaze unbroken. Hallelujah. I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. If he looked at the circumstances, he'd be easily defeated, but he raised his eyes. He said, my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock. He's looking up again. Hallelujah, that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a refuge for me and a shelter from my enemies. I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. Even though the circumstances are like they are. Amen. I will rejoice in the God of my deliverance. Rejoice because you're saved. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I don't believe any revival will come because of a healing campaign. Or because of a demonstration of holy laughter. No revival came out of that in and of itself. Power brought people to see what was going on. But only the cross can save them. Can you say amen? And when real revival hits the church, we're going to rejoice in what he did at the cross and rejoice in our salvation. And quit looking at what the devil's doing and look what God has already done. Hallelujah. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What's it worth, church? What's it worth to be saved? Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have also access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How many believe you're going to heaven? How many believe you're going to miss hell altogether? How many believe instead of being banished and punished eternally, you're going to have joy and bliss forever in a new body? Hallelujah. In the new Jerusalem. How many believe you're going to drink water from the river of life? How many believe that that's a cause for rejoicing? Can you? Oh, but they own my job. They did this. I'm not talking about what they did on your job. I'm talking about what Jesus did on that cross and what it's accomplished eternally. Hallelujah. Amen. And this prepares us to go through what a fallen world is going to bring. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because it doesn't change what God has done for us through Jesus. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is still shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Can you say amen? In other words, we're fully prepared to go through the anguish and pressure of a fallen world with a faulty body, because we're saved and the Holy Ghost is with us. We're sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Hallelujah. You know what it means to say hope maketh not ashamed? It means hope never disappoints anyone who steps out on it. Can you say amen? And the things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. You know what hope is biblically defined? The glad anticipation of future good. You know what I love to hear here? When people say the devil is fighting so hard, God is going to do something so wonderful. Something big is about to happen. Something good is coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. That's how faith looks at it. And that's how faith sounds when it talks. Hallelujah. If the devil fights with everything, something big is about to happen. Something good. So we glory in tribulation, knowing if the devil's fighting, God is working. Just joy in tribulation for tribulation's sake. We joy in tribulation because it means that the devil is fighting something he greatly fears. God must be working. Some things have to come to a head before they can heal. And it ain't pretty. I had a carbuncle on my knee. Just had started for Tampa Electric. Carbuncles. Anybody know what a carbuncle is? I didn't say a carbuncle. It's nothing to do with your seatbelts. A carbuncle. It's a big, nasty bump full of pus. Everybody say, ew. And when I say big, it ain't no pimple. We're not talking about pimple popping here. We're talking a carbuncle. It's like a pimple on steroids. I'm serious. That thing will get big as a chicken egg. And my knee was so sore, and I didn't want to miss work. And there's a core in it. And I remember we prayed over that thing because I needed to go to work. I just started with Tico, and I didn't want to start missing first month at work. We prayed over that bad boy. It got worse. For it to be healed, it had to get worse. It had to come to a head. It had to burst and let all that poison out for the healing to take place. Well, we prayed over it, went to bed that night, and it started to run. Now, I remember Pamela, my dear wife. Boy, I love her for sticking with me through carbuncles. Can you say amen? I won't tell that part. To make a long story short and not tell that part, amen, it burst the next day. With a little help from my friends, I'll get by. With a little help from my friend. Can you say, man, Jesus and Pamela together, that thing started, but it had to come to the full head. Amen. Otherwise, you drive the poison in, and God wants to get the poison out. It came to a head. A lot of circumstances have to come to a head, and it gets real ugly. Amen. It gets real ugly. But that ugly, amen, healing is right behind that ugly. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. As soon as that corruption gets out of there, the healing can get in there. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a king by the name of Hezekiah. He had something similar, and it was poison in his blood. Can you say, man? And the prophet looked at his circumstance and got the mind of God. And he said, Hezekiah, set your house in order. You're going to die. This thing's going to take you. Amen. Prophet gave the word of the Lord to Hezekiah. Prophet walked on down the road. Hezekiah turned his face. See, you can rejoice in the midst of sorrow. He turned his face to the wall. Amen. He didn't feel it was time. He felt like he was going before his time. He turned his face to the wall. Amen. There's something in that. Don't look at the circumstances. I used to work out at a men's gym. I don't anymore. Quit looking at me and say, well, what happened? Can you say, man, it's been years. But I used to be a gym rat. I used to love to go. And there was a big difference between the bodybuilders trying to get pretty and the powerlifters trying to get strong. Powerlifter, you don't care if you're about symmetry, and you don't care about your calves matching your arms and your pectorals, and all you care about is being able to yank that heavy weight and press it, because they take a combination of those three presses: standing, bench, and the jerk. And anyway, they take all three, and then they give you credit. There were world class powerlifters. I'm talking about that go to meets all over the world. Lifting, and they would do something that I saw in that Hezekiah did, a principle here of faith. You know what they would do? They don't want to see themselves. They don't want to see you either. They don't want to see nobody or nothing. All they want to do is focus on that weight, amen, because it's going to be so, I mean, when they lift it up and the bar is bent, you know, when I see a man bench pressing over 500 pounds, he can't be thinking about something that went wrong at work. He has to discipline his mind to forget all that. He can't think about the fact his girlfriend just went off with another guy. You know why? Because he can't focus. And if he don't focus, there's no possible way he's going to bench that kind of weight. He has to put everything out of his mind but that weight. Isn't it amazing that he's doing it for the glory of the flesh? We're asked to do this for the glory of our God and our victory. Can you say amen? Paul put it this way. They do it. They do it without the Holy Ghost, without a preacher encouraging him, without a Bible to read. They do it for a corruptible crown, Brother Taylor. Somewhere today there's a young man in some nation training for the Olympics. He's disciplined because he's dedicated. He wants two things. He wants his nation to be honored at the Olympics, and he wants his name to be honored. Amen? A corruptible crown is the reason that he's living a disciplined life. Can you say amen? Paul said they do it. The fact that they do it means we can do it with God's help. Because they do it without God's help. That means it can be done if you're dedicated. That means it can be done if you're committed. Then you add God's strength to that dedication and commitment. But you can't justify your attitude anymore. James chapter 1. Count it. Count it what? What you need to rejoice always. Count it all joy. Getting so quiet, you're looking like chippies. All you need is feathers to be chippy. It's getting so quiet. Isn't it amazing? We want to tell people how the Bible is the Word of God. You need to be obedient to God. Get the beam out of your eye. Their problem is beer. Their problem is cocaine. Their problem is illicit sex. Your problem is praise and worship. Amen? So get the beam out. Get
the beam out
before we try to straighten anybody else out.
They need devotion. They need discipline. They need deliverance. So do we. We need devotion. It's not beer I'm addicted to. It's not cocaine I'm addicted to. I'm addicted to my own weak flesh. My flesh wants pity when God needs praise from me.
Well,
I said my flesh wants pity when God deserves praise. And if I crucify my flesh, I'll give him praise and not seek pity. Can you say, man, the church doesn't need pity today. The church needs victory. And victory's only going to come when we get to the place that we praise God for the good. We sang a song a while ago that said it in song. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. I'll bless him in the good days and I'll bless him on the bad days. I'll bless him when things are fine. I'll bless him when everything's going wrong. Amen.
We just come off Scott shouting happy while listening to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir watching a Red Sea part and singing hallelujah.
They're closing in on us, but God is still on the throne. If you can't praise him, for goodness sakes, hush, so God can do something.
Hold your peace means button your lip. Zip it up.
Can you say, man, if a man can't bridle his tongue, his whole religion is vain?
Isn't that incredible? I'm not just talking about letting the curse words fly. I'm talking about something worse. Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Everybody think about what your tongue has talked about this week. What has been predominant in your conversation?
Did it bring life? Did it bring life?
Will it help somebody rise up that's cast down? Will it give hope to someone in a prison of fear or a prison of addiction? What did our tongues talk about all week? What was predominant in our conversation? Whatever it was, that's paramount in your heart. That's what's paramount in your heart. Amen? The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is crucial, church. We can't keep giving in to the flesh and to the devil through the flesh, because the devil will stop the poor momentum. I don't know if you noticed, but last week someone rededicated their life to the Lord. I don't know if you even noticed, but this week someone rededicated their life to the Lord. I would say that God is doing something that is worth Satan fighting. Can you say, man? I would say we need to start rejoicing that we are saved and rejoicing that God is saving and delivering others. Glory be to God. Amen?
Let me hurry. I'm almost done. Thanksgiving is tied to this. Thanksgiving is tied to this. Listen very carefully.
In the Greek, the most common word for joy and rejoicing is C-H-A-R-A. It means joy, delight, and gladness, according to Vines. We might think of charis and charisma as that which produces joy. And chara is the response to a gift which is given, according to Deal. Response to a gift that is given. Zondervan Topical Bible Definition of Joy said the emotion excited by the expectation or acquisition of good. Of good. Has God been good to you? There's a relationship between the gift that God has given us and the consistent joy in our life. Here's a good way to understand it. The greater value we place on a gift, the greater joy. The greater joy. The gift of a penny. Say it with me, ho-hum. Sean, I got a bright, shiny new penny to give you after church. And Sean says, ho-hum. Amen. The gift of a penny. I can sit and stare like Chippy. I have no reason to rejoice. A penny to offset what I just went through. Okay. The gift of $100. Say, that's really nice. Do you mean that? Sean, I gotta, don't take me serious now. Amen. I can just see Sean saying, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns. Sean, I got $100 to give you after church. You're supposed to say, that's really nice. But When you're as broke as Sean is, that's about the right response. The gift of a brand new house paid for in full. Say, that's fantastic. With a built-in kitchen, all stainless steel, granite countertops. The men say ho-hum, the women say, whoa, hallelujah. With a family room, with a fireplace, and a 70-inch plasma television and a Bose sound system and a big leather couch. And the men said, men don't say anything. It's been so long since they've had joy. Do you see the difference in the emotion based on the value of the gift? What we have to ask ourselves and challenge congregations with across America is, what is that cross worth? Can you say, man, is it worth a ho-hum? Is it worth a, oh, well, that's nice. Is it worth, oh, that's fantastic, like a house? Or is it above and beyond and transcendent of anything that gold and silver could buy or purchase? For you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. When you have a bad day, don't let that transcend the cross. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again I say, rejoice. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Everybody say it again, rejoice. We're almost done. Rejoice when we're persecuted for the right reason. I went to that pastor's meeting. They reminded me. They said, the person that persecuted you so bad, is that person saved? Now, it happens among saved people, but this person was not saved. I said, no, they're not saved. He said, well, there you are. That's it. Yeah, they think they are, but they're not. How do you know, Brother Bimbo? Because it wasn't because of my persecution, by the way. It's because of the entire lifestyle that is absolutely contradictory. But the thing is, they said, are they saved? I said, no. He said, well, that's the reason. It's for righteousness' sake. They hate you because you represent him. They consider you self-righteous. They want to bring you down, tear you up. Amen. Because you remind them, amen, that there is a right way, that there is a God to answer to, that there is a gospel that we need to embrace, that there are rules in the kingdom, that there are, this is not salvation by works, but there are rules in this kingdom. Can you say, man, there's a Lord of this kingdom. There's a great king here that we're to bow to. Matthew 5:10 said, and Jesus speaking, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and for their king, for the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when, that means happy to be envied again, when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all. Has anybody ever been talked about here? Did it hurt? Did those words? Do you remember the little thing we used to say, sticks and stones may break my bones? Ah, but words. Oh, but that's hogwash. That's baloney. I can recover quicker from a broken bone in a cast, amen, with everybody sympathizing with me and some good pain medication, than I can from words that cut. Can you say, man? I remember words from my childhood that cut me to the quick. Listen to me. Amen. When they shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be, see, this is not what I consider the basis for excessive joy. And yet Jesus, our Master, our Lord, our Savior, the one we're supposed to be obeying and listening to, crucifying the flesh in order to follow, he said, rejoice and be what? Exceedingly glad. There's nowhere else he said to be exceedingly glad. He put the emphasis on rejoicing in the midst of persecution. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Can you say that? They persecuted me. He said they're going to persecute you. You know what that means? You're beginning to identify enough with him to draw fire from the enemy. Hallelujah. And it's time to rejoice. Everybody say it's time to rejoice.
Are you being cut to pieces by someone like I am? And defamed and you know, lied on? Rejoice!
I just don't rejoice about things like that. Well, what happened a while ago while we were watching that video? Oh, but the Red Sea was parted. Yeah, but you got to be able to rejoice before the waters fall. Listen to me. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. This takes me out of this extraordinary circumstance. Say, this is normal. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange the fiery trial which has come to try you. Some strange thing has happened to you. Look at somebody and say, you're not unique. On your big boy pants. Come on, put on your big girl bloomers. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Come on, the little kids' song is convicting us. The words of a children's song is convicting us. Because it's telling rejoice when you sit on your sandwich. Rejoice when you have liver for supper and prunes for dessert. Thank Jesus anyway, you got something to eat. And Jesus still loves you and he died for you on the cross. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Every time I whine, God says, grow up. He doesn't sympathize with me. He does empathize with me. That means he's touched with the feeling of my infirmity. But he bids me come boldly to his throne. Hallelujah. To obtain grace and mercy to help me in the time of my need. I remember saying over and over again, I just can't keep this up. I can't keep up this pace. I can't keep up this pressure. And the more I said it, the deeper down I sunk. I remember when God said, grow up. Am I with you? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Yes. Does that count for anything? Yes. Then say this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Amen. Amen. And I started saying on the way to do something that is hard for me to do. Wore out. Beat down. Saying, I just don't have the energy to do this. I don't. I can't. No, no, no. Wait, 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 wait. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. And when a song comes of praise, amen, it helps you to do those things. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, listen. Beloved, think it not strange the fiery trial which come to try you. Some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice. There's that word that keeps occurring and reoccurring. Inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, you're identified with him, that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Can you say, man, when he comes to set up his kingdom, those that have been persecuted with him, if we suffer with him, what the Bible says is going to happen? We're going to reign with him with exceeding joy. You live in a fallen world.
Let me just give you one more reason to rejoice.
Rejoice that the lost are coming to Christ. Those pins mean people are coming to our website. They're hearing the gospel of Jesus without price, without a gimmick, without a hook in it. They're hearing the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. God watches over his word to perform it. He said, my word, listen, there's where it went to nations. And he said, my word will not return to me void. My word won't come back without accomplishing something. Can you say, man? You'll either get in or get out, but something's going to happen when the word comes forth. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Listen, there are many people who have left this congregation simply because the word of God. Can you say, man? Begin to challenge them because God wanted to change them, but they did not want to change. They'd rather have the chippy look in the back of somebody's church on Sunday morning. Can you say, man? I don't want the chippy look. I want a different attitude and live in a different atmosphere. I must have it to survive down here. Hallelujah. Luke 15, 1 through 10. I'm going to read this very quickly. We got to close. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He layeth it on his shoulders, say it with me, rejoicing. Has something happened to take away your vision for the lost? Amen. Has something happened to take away the fact that people are rededicating their life to the Lord? Do you believe that heaven was silent when people come to Jesus? Do you believe the church ought to be silent when people are coming to Jesus, licking our wounds, tucking our tail between our legs, with people coming to Christ? Firebrands snatched out of the fire. Did you expect the devil to lay down and take it without fighting? And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me. That's what I've been saying on Sunday. People are coming to know Jesus. Rejoice with me. Say, well, I've had a bad week. Well, a soul getting saved is more important than the kind of week you had. I'm sorry, it is. It is. It's got to be if we want to keep the vision. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. When he cometh home, he called his friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Hallelujah. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Just like that. Over one sinner. Just one that comes to repentance. All heaven stops and a celebration begins. Church has got to get over it. Can you say, man? Church has got to learn to deal with it and keep our eyes on the prize. Hallelujah. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance. More joy than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver and lose one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, seek diligently till she find it? Have you ever mislaid money? Did you ever look for where you mislaid it? Did you make it a priority? My mother lost $1,000. She put it up, forgot where she put it because her mind was beginning to go. So I said, Mama, I'll come down. I'll help you find it. She said, I know where I put it. I thought, if you know where you put it, then it's not lost.
She said, it's stolen.
She said, someone stole it.
Call the police.
Call the popo. They came. There was only one young lady that visited her the day she said she lost it. She swore up and down, I put it right there. I went to the mailbox, come back, and it was gone. The police called the lady. Begin to talk to her about it. I got there. The police had already filed a report. The lady is implicated and accused. And I said, where would my mama hide her money? Well, I remembered she used to wrap it in tinfoil and put it with fish that my stepdad, in between fish that he had caught in the freezer. You don't normally look for money among the fish in the freezer. I thought it was a pretty good hiding place. I used to tell congregations about Johnny Cash. So many people don't know nothing about country music, and they think Johnny Cash is the cash that a man puts in a jar, sits it down in the commode, in the back of the commode, the water closet, so his wife would never look back there. You know, that's Johnny Cash. Anyway, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. This is a sophisticated crowd. He got it because he lives way out in his neighborhood near the woods. Lives near the woods. Can you say amen? Incredible. I went down. I said, where would she put it? She must have put it some crazy place. Because my mom's crazy. So, and I love her, but she is crazy. I can't deny she's doing some crazy thing. And I looked in the oven. And she never used her oven. There's old pots and pans in the oven. And I moved those pots and pans. And in one of the pots where the pot on top in the oven was $1,000. But I'm going to tell you something. That day, we were searching for something important. When we were searching for something important, all the other stuff just was pushed aside. I mean, we can worry about Sister Hoopendicker's talking later. Right now, we got to find this money. Well, we can worry about all the junk later. Right now, let's be about our Father's business. And when a soul gets saved, let's don't miss the opportunity. And look at the magnitude of that miracle, because blind eyes being opened, bodies being healed, cancers being shrunk, that has nothing compared to a soul being saved. Can you say, man, when we see people coming forward, it's time to lay aside the junk and rejoice with the angels of God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the peace that I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels." He's saying it again. Over one sinner causes joy like that. Rejoice when the lost are saved. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I want you to stand your feet this morning. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Trials are going to make you better. They're going to make you bitter. They're going to distract you or cause you to set your focus on the Lord stronger than it was before the trial came. You and I have to make the choice, because to think it not strange when God is moving, that a fiery trial is coming. But rejoice in so much that you are partakers of His sufferings. Can you say amen? That I'm so identified with Jesus, Satan has put his mark on me or on this ministry or whatever it is. And I had to start rejoicing in the Lord. Even though my heart was broken, I'd taken a hit I wasn't prepared for, I had to rejoice to get out of that hole. Amen. We're waiting for God to pull us out of the hole. He said, "You can climb out if you'll rejoice." Amen. If you will rejoice. David said, when he delivered me from that horrible pit, when he lifted me from the miry clay, and he does it in our heart, not just pulling us out and changing the circumstance. He changes something in our heart. He said, he put my feet on a rock. That means I'm not only out of this circumstance of my heart that my life has brought, but I'm established. I don't just slip back in. We don't just start the next Sunday as if the past Sunday had never happened. Because something bad has happened during the week to offset all that God said and all that God did. I couldn't get over it sometimes. Somebody would get a miracle. We had a miracle of deaf ears open back at the Holy Church of God on Sitka Street. And the next Sunday, some church problem had erupted. And I was up there telling about the miracle, and everybody had that chippy, the parakeet stare. Came back from Haiti and told what God had done in Haiti, but the devil had been doing so much in Sulphur Springs that no one was interested in what God was doing in Haiti. No one was excited because that was in their peripheral. The only thing they were focused on is what happened to me and mine right here and now. You've got to grow up. The Church of Jesus Christ has to grow up. Christian, you need to grow up. Because if you don't grow up, you're going to be constantly distracted, defrauded from your inheritance as a child of God. And God can't trust you with a vision, because Satan can steal it most any time he wants through a circumstance. Raise your eyes. Look upon what? The fields, for they are white unto harvest. While we lick our wounds, people are going to hell. We're immobilized, stymied, and stagnant. God wants to change that. Can you say amen? Ula baroshada salabekina setada baroshi andada boho nengada salabarosha labadite nendada boho sata keta reshada boho sala nikala. These days demand, amen, responsibility and accountability. And we're being tested right now in this church whether God can entrust us with souls from this community. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can we be trusted to say hallelujah anyhow? Can we lift up Jesus in spite of circumstances? Can we be about our Father's business and be fervent in spirit? Can you say amen? Serving the Lord. Can we praise Him anyhow? Sister Venable, praise God. I told my wife, we're going to have to go in in there with victory. Can you say amen? Because the enemy wants to distract us. We can't afford it, church. Amen. God is doing things. God is moving by His Spirit. Hallelujah. The devil wants to stop it. I'm here to tell you today to rejoice in the Lord always. Can you say amen? And again, I say rejoice. God will do mighty things if we will but rejoice. God will save your flaky kids if we'll continue to rejoice. God will restore what is broken if we will rejoice. Can you say amen? Bring that tongue under control. Pray and shut up. Did you hear me clearly? Hold your peace. We all know what the devil's doing. Don't magnify him anymore. Don't give him any more credit. That's what your tongue was made for. To praise and glorify God. To intercede. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? That's what God created you and gave you the gift to speak in a heavenly language for. If we could play a tape of this week's conversations, we'd find out where our faith is. We'd find out where our focus is. We'd find out if the devil is taking, amen, the focus off of Jesus or not. Can you say amen? I serve a God who's greater, Sean. I serve a God who's bigger. I serve a God who's better. I serve a God who's still in control. I serve a God who still parts waters. I serve that God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you an opportunity before we go home to put on your shouting shoes and to hold your peace and to stand your ground and to stand still and see the glory of God. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. That will determine what God will do. Not what He can do. He can do anything. But what He will do. What He will do. What He will do. It's time to grow up. When I was a child, how did people tell? They couldn't look at whether I'm gray or not. They couldn't look at my age lines to tell maturity. They tell it when I open my mouth. Can you say amen? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, when I grew up spiritually. Everybody say, when I grew up spiritually. Honey, you don't want to grow old without growing up. Believe me. The devil will keep defrauding you and defeating you. Amen. When I became a man, I didn't stay a child. I grew. Can you say amen? When I became a man, what happened? I put away childish things. What are childish things? I thought as a child. I spake as a child. Can you say amen? Honey, it involves this old tongue. Make no mistake about it. Amen. I want to speak life to you this morning, not death to you. Because not only are you hearing it, but my own heart is hearing it. My own spirit is being infected or affected today. Well, it's being affected by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the promise of God. Hallelujah. Oh, let this be a week of rejoicing excessively. Praise God. Because the persecution is for righteousness' sake. Amen. This should be an exceeding week. Glory be to God. Call somebody up this week and say, just wanted to call and tell you how good Jesus is. How mighty God is. How wonderful the Lord is. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Call them up and tell them. Woo! Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He saved my soul. Can you say amen? Look what the Lord hath done. Who can tell what God will do? Who can tell what He'll do for you? Glory to God. We're going to go up to the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from me. Come on, Dale, say amen. Take back what he stole from me. Take back what he stole from me. Glory to God. I don't need my shouting shoes. These are going to do just fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did I give you number two? Praise the Lord. You got on your shouting shoes? Raise your hand if you're going to work at it. This rejoicing thing. I didn't ask you to be perfect in it. Are you going to work at it? Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you're going to give your tongue to the Holy Ghost this week. Ooh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hand if you're, no matter what you talk about, if you're going to say, but God is in control. But God is on the throne. But God is still working. Hallelujah. We're still trusting and believing God for great things. Hallelujah. All right. Let's just seal this with another bookend tonight. Young people in a Bible college saying what we need to be saying tonight.